Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, there was another report filed on the Chicago police response to the violent protest from last summer's. This one comes from the woman who is overseeing the consent decree with the Chicago Police Department, Margaret Hickey. Mayor Lightfoot asked about it earlier today.
The former federal prosecutor who's in charge of overseeing court-ordered reforms in the Chicago Police Department writing today, the Chicago Police Department was unprepared to handle the mass protests, unrest, violence, and looting that followed the murder of George Floyd last summer. Your comments on that?
I haven't had an opportunity to read the full report, but the Chicago Police Department itself put out an after-action report that I think highlighted the fact there was no city in the country, us included, that anticipated the scale of protests following the murder of George Floyd.
Mayor Lightfoot there responding to the report. Let's get the response from Alderman Brian Hopkins, who joins us on a phone line now, of course, Second Ward Alderman. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be on once again.
So what do you make from the report that was released today, or I guess yesterday, from Margaret Hickey?
Yeah, it's I think it's over 400 pages. I just started reading it a couple of hours ago, and I actually didn't get that far because we had zoning and rules and several other committees. But
didn't you know you needed to prep for the show here, Alderman?
Well, I could talk about it even though I haven't read the report, because I was there. And both instances of looting in May and then again in August of 2020, I was physically present watching what was happening firsthand. So there's no question that the police were not prepared for that. To the mayor's point, you know, nobody really anticipated the scope and scale of what we were experiencing. It was not just political protest, and it was not just looting, but it was organized theft on a massive scale, with leaders and planning and organization and rented vehicles to store the looted merchandise. This was something that was done in a very coordinated fashion, and the police were overwhelmed, and they just didn't have a response, and there was really nothing they could do once it got started except let it run its own volition. And sooner or later, the looters got tired and went home, and that's when it ended in both occasions. So the report is Monday morning quarterbacking that, obviously, but I don't think anyone, including the superintendent of police, would deny that we weren't prepared for what happened.
Talking to Alderman Brian Hopkins, so then I want to phrase this question carefully. I'm not assessing blame, but had the police been better prepared, could they have avoided this, or was it unavoidable?
Yeah, that's a great question. In hindsight, and knowing what we know now, there's certain things we could have done that would have had a mitigating effect. Could we have prevented it? Hard to say. One of the things, and I didn't get to this section in the report, so I'm not sure if it's if it talks about the large number of firearms that were observed present during the looting. We were just, you know, one trigger pull away from a police officer being killed, or looters, you know, being killed in a firefight. It was that close to happening, and it didn't happen. But one of the reasons it didn't happen was because the police just stood down when they realized that a number of these looters were armed and presumably willing to start firing upon the police if the police attempted to stop them. So knowing that, if you want to plan out a tactical strategy that tells police officers, go risk your life so Walgreens doesn't lose, you know, a rack full of cosmetics, boy, that's, you know, in today's environment when police morale is at an all-time low, that's a tough sell. I don't care how carefully you plan it.
All right, let's move on to another subject. The city council meeting tomorrow, and the reporting is you're going to introduce an ordinance that would protect the rights of aldermen to choose their ward superintendents. Right now, essentially, aldermen they don't have the authority to do that, but historically they've been given the power to do that. You want to put it into law to protect the aldermanic power to do that. Why?
Yeah, when I first heard that the Inspector General came out with this recommendation, I was angry. I thought, why is he?
Well, let's
this
back up, Alderman.
Us,
so, you know? So his recommendation is that this be declared not Shackman exempt, and that the city would hire it. The Alderman would be taken out of the equation. Correct?
Exactly. Okay. And right. And the initial reaction from me, and I think the vast majority of my colleagues on the city council, was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, the ward superintendent position works very well. And why would we want to mess with that? It doesn't make sense. I thought it might potentially be just sort of a vindictive act by the inspector general, who's very frustrated with his current role and doesn't feel like the city council has really listened to him. And now that he's leaving, you know, this was kind of his parting shot out the door. That was my initial reaction until I looked at his report, and I had to admit he's right, actually. The way the ward superintendent job description is written clearly does not conform with the Shackman consent decree. So, you know, our practice, I would argue, does, but our practice and the written policies did not match at all.
So
this is my attempt to change the written policy to make it match the practice rather than changing the practice to match the written policy.
You know, I've talked to groups who think this is a good idea. I mean, a bad idea, that it should not, it should be taken out of the hands of the alderman. And they point out that what this does in many ways is create 50 separate fiefdoms in the city rather than leave to city government rules, and leave to the city council legislative rules. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, you know, the word fiefdom sort of implies something that maybe is a holdover from a past era when you had aldermen who had these vast patronage armies that we controlled.
Aldermen, three sitting aldermen are under federal indictment right now. I mean, there are fiefdoms out there.
Right. Well, but the word fiefdom implies an era of patronage that no longer exists. It really doesn't. Longtime Chicagoans might have a hard time believing that, but it's true. The legacy of patronage is all but gone, 99% erased. What remains is something like this, the ward superintendent position, which you could argue absolutely should be a political hiring position, because that job, more than any other job, determines the fate of an alderman. We should have the ability to pick and choose who we want to be our partner in dealing with things like plowing the streets, always a political hot button, picking up the garbage in the alleys, trimming the trees, you know, making sure the streetlights are repaired promptly when they're burned out. This is what Chicagoans expect. Look, I ran for this job because I want to be able to do those things. I love my neighborhoods. I love the neighborhoods that I represent, and I like being able to clean them up and to remove the graffiti and do all those things that Chicagoans want me to do. So if you, as a Chicago resident, want your alderman to do that, then for God's sake, let us. Give us the tools we need to do that. And the number one tool we have to do that is the ward superintendent position.
Second ward alderman Brian Hopkins on the phone line. You know, it's funny, Alderman, what you're describing, it's like you're sort of being held responsible in 2021 for the fiefdoms that did exist in 1975, right? Because back then the alderman controlled everything, and if things weren't done in the ward correctly, the alderman was to blame because he or she was the one choosing everyone.
Yeah, exactly right. And like I said, the only holdover from that era that still exists is the ward superintendent job. All the rest of them have been eliminated as the patronage system was dismantled one by one. This is the last one standing, and I would argue it's the best one, and it's the one that makes the most sense to leave it alone so it can function the way it always has.
Second ward Alderman Brian Hopkins. Great to talk to you again, Alderman. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You bet.
Got a question for Dr. Jim Adams. He's the chief medical officer for Northwestern Medicine. He will join us on the other side of the news. Give us a call now, 312-981-7200, or send us a text question. Always prefer to talk to you. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine newsroom coming up.